Good evening. Welcome to a special edition of The Blues. I'm Lee Hay. Much has been written this past week about the great vocalist Billie Holiday, whose 100th birthday was celebrated this past week. During tonight's one-hour special, you'll hear from Amy London, who's a transplanted jazz vocalist in New York City. You'll hear Ron Esposito's conversation with John Schwed, who has recently published a book about Billie Holiday. Robin Carrie Allgaier shares her thoughts on her favorite Billie Holiday song. And you'll hear also from four vocalists, Rosemary Clooney, Cassandra Wilson, Carmen McRae, and Tony Bennett, who thought enough of Billie Holiday to record tribute albums of her songs. And of course, the songs of Billie Holiday on The Blues.
Greetings, everybody. This is Amy London. I'm a jazz singer in New York City, and we're celebrating Billie Holiday's birthday on April 7th, 2015. It's the 100th anniversary of her birth. Billie Holiday had a very, very rough upbringing, very rough. She basically grew up on the streets and had to survive on the streets, so she was a very tough girl. She had to learn how to defend herself, how to fight, how to survive in whatever way she possibly could in a very unfriendly environment. So when she discovered that she could sing, I think life really changed for her, and she was able to step into the limelight and explore her great talent and her great ears and her sensitivity and her brilliance and use her talent to make a living, which completely changed her life around. It's kind of interesting that in some biographies, Billie Holiday is looked at as a victim. And people like to talk about certain facts about her, that she experienced prostitution as a young girl with her mother and was a junkie and an alcoholic. And on the other hand, you can look at some other biographies and people will say Billie did have a rough upbringing, but then she chose her path the rest of her life. And she chose to be a drug addict and she chose to sing jazz. That's what happened. And she partied and she had a great time and really enjoyed and lived every moment to the fullest. So you can look at a lot of biographies of Billie Holiday and kind of explore both opinions about her life and her choices, what happened to her. Anyway, so let's talk about Billie's great contribution to the world of vocal jazz. Lee invited me to pick a few favorite tunes of Billie's, and that was really hard because there are so many amazing recordings of Billie Holiday, but I wanted to highlight a few that I had picked out. YouTube is such an amazing tool for all of us to use and to learn about jazz and to enjoy jazz, because you can now watch these film clips that used to be so rare and are now at the touch of your fingertips. You can look at them on your phone when you're walking down the street or in a cafe. It's just amazing. There's a great early tune of Billie Holiday's called Me, Myself, and I, which has a great band with her. Of course, her very, very good friend was Lester Young, Prez. He gave her the nickname Lady Day. And they were very, very much best friends and best music collaborators for many, many years. And he's playing on this recording of Me, Myself, and I, and it's on YouTube, and you can watch it and you can also listen to it. So that was one of my favorites for a variety of reasons. It's a swinging tune, it's a happy tune, and the message is a great message and a happy message that Billie expressed in that song.
I'm Ron Esposito. Billie Holiday would be 100 years old in 2015. And although she died when she was only 44, her music has remained a constant influence on other musicians and has never gone out of fashion with the public. Though much has been written about each version of Holiday, never before has a complete panoramic view of her life been captured. Jazz historian and author John Zwed boldly uncovers the legendary singer's life in a new biography, Billie Holiday, The Musician and the Myth. Our guest this evening, John Zwed, is a former professor of music and director of the Center for Jazz Studies at Columbia University. As a jazz musician, he played professionally for over a decade. He is the author of 18 books, including So What? The Life of Miles Davis, Alan Lomax, The Man Who Recorded the World, and my favorite, Space is the Place, The Lives and Times of Sun Ra. And just a little shout out to the state of Ohio. John did his undergraduate work at Marietta College in southeastern Ohio and got his PhD at The Ohio State University. John, I really enjoyed reading Billie Holiday, The Musician and the Myth. Man, you've done a great job in highlighting Billie's artistry as a musician. Before we talk about that, what is the myth of Billie Holiday? There's a lot of stuff that surrounds her.
Yeah, and there are 40-some books about her in several languages, and I did my best to see all of them. By the way, the most recent one out of France is completely fictionalized. They make no bones about it. They just create a new character. Make up your own as you go along. I think the problem, it's complicated by the fact that she had a prison record that was so public at the same time that she was becoming an important singer in the mid-40s. And she lost the right to sing in places that served liquor in New York City because the police controlled the license you had for that. Well, that basically puts you out of business. So she was left performing, as she said, for children in Central Park and Carnegie Hall. But you can't make a living on those occasional things. So the story of her life was as if a press release had been issued for everybody to say, this is what you got here with the singer. And that put everybody on edge and put a certain color on whatever happened with her. So she had to confront that in various ways. The book she wrote called Lady Sings the Blues is an attempt to try to say, yeah, I did all those things and I'm to blame, but here I am and whatever. And this was the time when, frankly, there was nothing of the gossip of the level we have now or the destructive qualities of some people towards the stars. Confidential magazine was on top of her. It was the worst publication for such things at the time, making up stories and what have you. So she had to confront this. And to some degree, she mythologizes herself as well, but I don't think in any kind of really offensive way. What startled me when I found the earlier drafts of her book was that some things that would have made a lot of difference were taken out for fear of litigation from some famous people. That is, her affair with Orson Welles and several heiresses of note, a woman who was an heiress to the DuPont money, one of the tobacco heiresses, some poets, some professors, some rather famous people. And the stories were interesting. They were fascinating. Charles Lawton. So this took the edge off the book, and she said that. She said it didn't give the full picture. It turns out she was a much funnier, lighter, and smart person than I think has been seen. And I wasn't trying to say I've got the truth. I'm just trying to say there's this other side we've been missing.
Yeah, I know you refer in some of the notes I've read about the book that this is kind of like a meditation on Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about
that? Not a biography. I've written biographies, and I'm very wary of them. It's not because people set out to lie or anything of the sort, but no life gets lived like a biography. It's not a timeline, or at least that's not the way it feels when you're alive. It's much more zigzag, I would think, at least in my life, than it is a straight line. And yet the biography has to say that, and biographies basically are this happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. And we can make sense of things, but that's not necessarily how it went. Now, Holiday's life was really chaotic. And a timeline would be confusing. It certainly confused me. You kept saying, well, I thought this happened already. It was just tough to put it in the kind of form. Plus, I found that her life was even tougher and more horrific than I had imagined by reading the other books. So maybe because the writers just couldn't bring themselves to write about that darkest side of existence. So I thought maybe the best thing to do was to remind myself and other people that whatever happened and whatever she seemed to be, she was also an artist of very high caliber, or she wouldn't still be around, still in the same zone with Frank Sinatra, who adored her and said she was the most influential singer in 20 years at the time. I believe he said that in the 40s.
Interesting is not the word, but let's use it. She had a really interesting approach to her interpretation of material and certainly her relationship to how to sing.
And also her choice of material. If you start by saying your biggest songs are about a lynching, about a potential suicide, and a kind of a song leading to suicide, and a song about being a prostitute beaten by your pimp, and maybe your fourth song is God Bless the Child, which is a quasi-church song. Try offering that to a singer these days and say, how'd you like to do these songs?
Since you kind of mentioned these songs, why don't we touch on each one of these songs for a moment? Because, I mean, they are really iconic jazz tunes. Why don't we start with Strange Fruit, which is probably one of my favorite compositions of all time. I love Nina Simone's version as well. But tell us about Strange Fruit, the song.
It's curious. I think more people know about it than actually have heard it. Maybe that's the result of radio play or whatever. And if you have heard it, they probably heard other people's recordings. Like Nina Simone's is much more dramatic and film-like. Hers is much more, I saw this. You're standing back and saying it's flattened out in a way that's very different from what she did. It changes the melody quite a bit. It's a song about a person who's apparently seen a lynching. And it's put in poetic terms, not high poetry, just strange fruit is, why is this body hanging from a tree?
Right.
Then it gets described in biological, botanical terms. The song and she don't really say, oh, is this awful or this is horrendous or something. It just says it. And that's part of the shock, I think, when she performed that live. It needed more shock. She was already sticking it in the middle of happy and dance tunes. So here comes this song. And how do you respond to that? And how do you get out of this song when you do it? Turns out she would walk off the stage and was a closer. That's the only way you could do it, I suppose.
I agree with that.
I don't know what singer would want to perform that live now, except for a very select audience.
This is Robin Carey Allgaier, and my favorite Billie Holiday song is definitely Strange Fruit. It's got a fascinating background. I mean, you could write volumes just about the lyrics themselves, but the story behind it is sort of complex but really interesting. It was inspired by a photograph taken in 1930, the lynching of two black men in Marion, Indiana. And the song was written by Abel Meeropol. He was an English teacher at his high school alma mater, DeWitt Clinton High School in the Bronx. And he wrote the lyrics as a poem first, and then later he did set it to the music that we now know. Meeropol and his wife used to perform it as a protest song in the 30s around New York City. And that's when Barney Josephson first heard the song. Now, he was the owner of the Cafe Society, which was New York City's first integrated nightclub. And after hearing that performance, Josephson gave the song to one of his regulars, Billie Holiday. Now, she first performed it in the cafe in 1939. But it's really interesting that Josephson required certain things to be in place before Billie performed that song. First, he required that it be the last song in her set for the evening, no encore, that the servers would stop all service prior to the song's performance, and also that the room would be dark except for a single spotlight on Billie's face. And she would stand there with her eyes closed in the spot during the 70-second piano intro before starting the song.
Sun to rise.
How about Gloomy Sunday? What's behind that song?
This is a really odd song in its history. Songs get translated in strange ways, but this one really is strange. It started as a Hungarian song, which is about the rise of fascism, and the only thing that looks like is actually a reference in there that sounds like a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and so on. Things are all going to hell. And then it somehow got translated to English to be a song about a dead person who's buried or being buried, and their ex-lover who dumped them shows up and pretends to be sad, and this lover is really angry at it. Paul Robeson recorded that, among a few other people.
Yeah.
And Artie Shaw recorded it in a jaunty, kind of happy tempo, which I never understood.
No kidding. Whoa.
Then comes this version, which is a person who's, it's almost a ritual. Candles are burning, and it's dark, and it's rainy, and so forth. And the lover has died, and this person is thinking of killing herself and joining this,
yes,
this person.
Yeah.
Except they add on this kind of bad movie ending where it says, changes from minor to major and says, oh, it was only a dream. You're still lying here beside me.
Behind My Man, you kind of intimated that it's about a pimp and a whore relationship.
I found out that in cabaret in Paris, starting at the turn of the 19th, 20th century, a whole horde of songs were like this. They were called prostitute songs, and whatever the French is for that. And they ranged from pathetic ones, how awful life is, to happy ones, to ones making fun of those songs, where the prostitute is making fun of being a prostitute. The closest thing we have to it, I suppose, is Love for Sale, Cole Porter, which, right, Holiday only recorded and didn't perform live very often, if at all. It'd be interesting to know why that would be the case, if it was too painful or whatever. But this song, in its history, appears to have been written by a man about another man who he was in love with.
No
so
kidding.
When you hit the line, "He beats me too," this takes on a totally different weight, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was performed and made famous in this country by Fanny Brice, and then in turn by Barbra Streisand playing her. But I've noticed if you look at YouTube, Barbra Streisand apologizes for having to sing some of those lines. And it also gets censored in the Glee songbook.
Sometimes I say if I just could get away with my man, he'd go straight, sure as fate, for it never is too late for a man. I'd just like to dream of a cottage by a stream with my man, where a few flowers grew and perhaps a kid or two like my man. And then my eyes get wet, I most forget, till he gets hot and tells me not to talk such rot. Oh, my man, I love him so, he'll never know. All my life is just despair, but I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright, all right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away, when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I'm his
you tell us about God Bless the Child? Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, this one was revived and seems to be getting more popular. It was revived, I believe, by Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, they did a great version, I think.
And that pushed that into a new era. The song is originally titled with an ED on the end, God Bless the Child, which makes more sense of it. And I've noticed that a lot of people take different meanings from this. I suppose a lot of people see it simply as a song about being poor, whether you're a child or not, and the need for blessings of this. The song seems to be saying God has blessed a child that's got its own in poverty. In other words, the child is already able to survive, rather than saying God should be blessing it. So the song has this certain ambiguity in it, and people do what they want to with it. It's sort of like, what should we call it, a pop hymn? I mean, it's something like John Lennon's Imagine, which people read in different ways, and now it's turning up in church services all over
the place. It is. Well, that's the beauty of art, huh?
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is. mama may have, papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Of bread and such, you can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
I have to acknowledge the song God Bless the Child that Billy wrote. It is an amazing song. It's a beautiful song. It's a song that every jazz singer must know how to sing, young or old, student or professional. It's just such an anthem of jazz, and it's an anthem for anybody just in life. If you really look at the lyrics, it's a story about basically we come into this world alone and we leave this world alone, and you've got to get by on your own and be independent and survive on your own. And that's really the story of God Bless the Child. And that's what Billy did. She was very independent. She was very feisty, and she survived and certainly flourished musically in the grandest way possible. So God Bless the Child, of course, is at the top of my list.
That was Amy London. Now we'd like to share some of Billie Holiday's songs that were recorded by other well-known vocalists. All of these vocalists, Rosemary Clooney, Cassandra Wilson, Carmen McRae, and Tony Bennett, recorded tribute albums in her honor. Let's begin with Rosemary Clooney's version of Everything Happens to Me.
Can bet your life it rains. I try to throw a party, and the guy upstairs complains. I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing planes. Everything happens to me. I never miss a thing. I've had the measles and the mumps. Every time I play an ace, my partner always trumps. I guess I'm just a fool who never looks before she jumps. Everything happens to me. At first my heart thought you could break this jinx for me, that love would turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. I've telegraphed and phoned. I sent an airmail special too. Your answer was goodbye, and there was even postage due. I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happens to me. Turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. I've telegraphed and phoned. I sent an airmail special too. Your answer was goodbye, and there was even postage due. I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happens to me.
Was you here to stay? It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache.
Know why but I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what we've been missing. Lover man, oh, where can you be? The night is cold and I'm so all alone. I'd give my soul just to call you my own. Got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Lover man, where can you be? I've heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like a heavenly dream. I go to bed with a prayer that you'll make love to me.
it seems. Someday we'll meet and you'll dry all my tears. Then whisper sweet little things in my ear. Hugging and a kissing, ooh, what we've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be? Now I've heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like a heavenly dream. I go to bed with a prayer that you'll make love to me, make love to me, make love to me. Strange as it seems, someday we'll meet and you'll dry all my tears. Then whisper sweet little things in my ear. Hugging and kissing, what we've been missing. Love a man, love a man, oh, where can you be?
Some other spring, I'll try to love. Now I still cling to faded blossoms, fresh and warm, left crushed and torn, like the love affair I mourn. Some other spring, when twilight falls, will the night bring another to me? Not your kind, but let me find it's not true that love. Sun shines around me, deep in my heart, it's cold as ice. Love, once you found me, but can that story unfold twice? Some other spring, will my heart wake, stirring to sing love's magic music, then forget that old duet, find love in some other spring.
Thank you.
sun shines all around me. Deep in my heart, it's cold as ice. Love, once you found me, can that story unfold twice? Some of the spring will my heart wake, stirring to sing love's magic music. Then forget that old duet. Find love in some other spring.
Mm-hmm.
thanks for listening to tonight's special on the Great Billie Holiday. I'd like to also thank Amy London, Ron Esposito, John Schwett, and Robin Carey Allgaier for their contributions. You've been listening to 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford. I'm Lee Hay.